Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Nun Aleph, Mitzvah 51. It is a mitzvah on Bezdin to adjudicate the cases of the damages of Keren. That is when one's animal deliberately damages another animal or a human with intent to do harm. The mitzvah is split up into several details. Details about, number one, who the victim was, whether a person or another animal. Number two, how likely and how predictable was it that this animal might do damage? Does this animal have a track record? The Pasuk says, this is in Parashas Mishpatim, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Ches, chapter 21, verse 28, page 422 in the Stone Chumash, V'chi yigach shoris isho is isha v'meis, when an ox shall gore a man or woman, and he shall die, sakol yisakel ashar, the ox shall surely be stoned. And its flesh may not be eaten, which is a separate mitzvah. And the owner of the ox shall be innocent. If this ox that gores habitually, if it's an ox that gores habitually from yesterday and the day before yesterday, three times, and its owners have been warned, but did not guard it, v'hem is ish o isha, and it killed a man or a woman, hashor yisakel, the ox shall be stoned, v'gam ba'alav yumas, and also its owner shall be put to death. When we say that the owner shall be put to death, we do not mean literally. Only a direct murderer is actually put to death. However, the Torah promises that while we Bezdin cannot put him to death, the Torah says, "V'gam ba'alav yumas bidei shemayim," that the owner is killed, bidei shemayim, heaven will inflict death on the owner because he was grossly negligent in watching his animal, which he knew to have a violent nature. Therefore, while we may not punish him, the Torah warns that he will receive his punishment from heaven. However, the owner does not escape with only being punished by heaven. Im kofer yushasalav, which we translate to mean that an atonement payment shall be assessed against him. It literally means when, but we say that it means that an atonement payment shall be assessed against him. V'nasam pidyon nafsho. He shall pay as a redemption for his life. K'cho asher yushas alav, whatever is assessed against him, which is debated in the Gemara, whether this means the demay nizik, the amount that the nizik was worth, so to speak, if the nizik were so, the one who was damaged, the one, the victim, would have been sold as a slave, how much would he have been worth? Or is it the demay mazik, that he is really giving a redemption for his own soul, for he deserves to be put to death, and pays this to the family of the victim? Obein yigach, Obas yigach, if the ox gore is a minor, kamishbat hazayah aselo, the same way that this shall be done to him. Im eved yigach hasharo ama, if the ox gores a slave or a maid servant, kesef shloshim shkalim yitain ladonav, he gives 30 shekels of silver to the master, v'asher yisakel, and the ox shall be stoned. Rashi says this is gzeiras hakasev, this is decreed no matter the actual worth of the slave. That is what the Torah says. skip down two psukim to pasuk lamed he, verse 35 in chapter 21. We now go to the mitzvah of the punishing of exacting payments for what, for an ox that gored another animal. If one man's ox shall strike his fellow's ox, which dies, umachru asher achai v'chatu as kaspo, they should sell the living ox and divide its money, v'gamas hames yachatun, and they shall divide the carcass as well. This is basically chatzi nezek. This is the law of half damages. This is talking, however, about a short tam, talking about what we call a tame, a simple ox, which has not yet shown itself to be violent. However, if it becomes known that it was an ox that had gored habitually from yesterday and before yesterday, v'lo yishmerenu balav, and its owner did not guard it, shalem yishalem shor tachas ashar, he must pay surely an ox in place of an ox, v'amesi alone, he can take the carcass. This is called nezek shalem, he pays complete damages, again, because he should have known the violent nature of his animal, he is held completely responsible for the damages that take place. An interesting question comes up in Bava Kama, where the first part of Nezikin, of the laws of the Gemara, is discussing the laws of damages, where all these laws are discussed, which is it the same process to make one a muad, to make one an ox which is considered to have been seen to have a violent record for an adam, for going at and attacking humans, and for behema, and for attacking beasts? Or are they two separate processes? Additionally, an animal can lose its status of mu'ad. It can lose that status of where one must be extra vigilant in guarding it, and where one is held fully liable. Well, an animal, if it seems to have become tame, meaning that there have been three times where the animal does not attack, where the animal is provoked or approached by another animal, alternatively by a human, and not attacked, and not lunged to attack, the animal is therefore considered not to be a mu'ad anymore. If the animal then surprises us and attacks, the owner would only be liable for chatzi nezek, for half damages. What if the animal shows itself to be tame around people, but not necessarily around animals, or vice versa, it shows itself to have become tame around animals, not around people? What do we assume? These are all questions which are discussed at length in the Masechta Bava Kama. There are, however, five types of animals, not really behemos, not domesticated animals, which are mu'adin mitchilasan. They are considered ready to attack from the time they were born, which are hazav, the wolf, ari, the lion, dova, bear, namer, the leopard, and bardalus. Bardalus is either a leopard or a hyena. Namer is either a leopard or a tiger, although in the Gemara it seems to be used as a leopard. Also a snake, if one keeps around a snake, then it is a mu'ad. Even if you have raised these, says the Rambam, Tarbos you've tried to raise them in your house, they are always set, as great pets as they may make, they are always set to do damage, and if one of them would do damages, then the owner would be liable, nezek shalem, even the first time that they've ever struck someone. So, just a warning, if you want to keep exotic pets, you have to be ready to pay the price. One of the other questions which we ask about any hezek, any damages, is where did it happen? Did it happen Rishus HaYachid, someone's private property, or Rishus HaRabim, or public property? Joint property is also considered private property if it's not somewhere where the ox would usually be brought. However, even in public property, one's ox cannot be let loose to go and do damages, and therefore for Karen, for this act of vicious damage, the owner is liable even in Rishus Rabim, even in public areas. The other mazikim, which we will discuss about one's property, one's animal doing damage, in other ways it will make a difference, or a larger difference at least, whether it happened in Rishus Rabim in the public way, or in private property where the animal is clearly not supposed to be and had no right to be. Another question that comes up is Vishmira. How far does the owner have to go to make sure that the animal does not get out? What is considered a shmira karoi? What is considered a sufficient guard? Is it a usual fence? Is it something extraordinary? What strength does it have to be? And that also depends on whether the animal is a tum or a muad, whether the animal is considered dangerous or not. That will determine the extent of the owner's responsibility in being noel lefoneha, in watching it. If the owner does watch it in whatever a sufficient way is, then the verse v'hu ad bevalav v'lo yishmerenu, that the owner was warned and did not watch it, does not apply, or v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav, that the owner did not watch it, does not apply, and the owner will not be liable in the same way. The Mishnah in Bava Kamma starts by listing avos nezikin. Four avos nezikin, four main categories of nezek. The four are keren, this category of malicious damage, regel, damaging by foot, alternatively shein, which is an animal doing damage on something for its own benefit. Aish, one who ignites a fire. And bor, one who puts an obstacle, a pit or another obstacle, in the public way. The Gemara deals with many other types of damages, but will fit them under one of these four categories, and will subject those other damages to the rules of those four categories. For example, if a damage is ruled to be under the category of keren, of malicious damage, one would be liable for it in Rishus HaRabim, in the public domain. However, if that same damage was ruled to be a tolda under the category of, say, regel, of something that the animal does as it is walking, by the way, not malicious, then that same act would one might not be liable for in Rishus Rabim, in public property, but only in private property. However, before we leave the category of Karen, of malicious damage, let's talk about some other applications besides the classical application of goring with one's horns. The Torah uses two words to describe this damage of Karen. One is yigach. Yigach literally translates as gores, gores with one's horns. The Gemara notes that the Torah also uses the word giyigof, which literally means when an animal will push, strike, or shove. We therefore derive that this language of strike includes many other things, such as pushing him or slamming its body into the person, kicking the person or the animal, biting the person, and doing damage to it with its horns as well. We apply these extensions to the rules where it says kiigach as well, where one gores, even though it would seem to imply that the only way an ox is liable for the damages to a person is when it actually gores, which is what it says up there. However, since it says vehemis and he puts it to death, which was not necessary, could just say that the person died, we say that whatever method the ox uses to kill a person, that method is considered Karen, is considered this act of goring, we'll call it, which is acting with intent to damage, with intent to hurt, and therefore is subject to the same rules. Also, this does not apply only to an ox, but rather applies to any animal, domestic or non-domestic, as we discussed, as well as a bird. If your bird goes and attacks someone, then you will be liable. If you did not watch it properly, if your bird attacks someone three times, then you're completely liable. All these halachos apply. The Torah just picked the case of an ox because those are usually the ones that are involved in these cases. They are heavy. They get mad. They do things. They do damage. As far as the shoresh, again, the Sefer Achinuch reiterates that all these mitzvos are here in order that we have an orderly society, that people know that there are consequences to their actions, to the acts of damages or their acts of neglect, as well as their lack of watchfulness over their animals. While we can never repair the wounds and the damage that was actually caused, this goes under the category of imposing a fine on the one who did the damage. The fine is commensurate to the damage which was done, and one cannot necessarily get out of this fine in all cases, by admitting. However, we do not presume to fix what has been done. Even with someone who receives payment is still damaged. However, it is a way of deterring people from being reckless with their property and with their actions. This mitzvah can only be administered, these payments can only be exacted by smuchim, by those who have smicha and in Eretz Yisrael. However, that doesn't mean that not in Eretz Yisrael one does not have to pay. One must pay, is obligated to pay, b'dinei shemayim. It is a mitzvah upon him to pay, it's an obligation upon him to pay. And if the victim goes and grabs what would be, what Beis Din would have awarded him in Eretz Yisrael as payment for his damage, we don't take it back. We don't say, give it back, it's not yours, though we will not adjudicate the case if we can determine that he got what was coming to him and he grabbed it, we let him have it. Certainly we try to prevail upon the mazik, upon the one who inflicted the damage or was responsible for the animal that inflicted the damage, that he should indeed do the right thing and fulfill his obligation to the nizak, to the one who was damaged. The Torah, we skipped over these psukim before. The Torah intersperses between the halachos of an ox damaging a person and the halachos of an ox damaging another animal. The Torah interjects two psukim, which tells us another of the avos nezikin. This is a new mitzvah. This is mitzvah 53, known as the mitzvah of Beis Din, to adjudicate the cases of the damages done by a pit. The Torah tells us, v'chi yiftach ish bar, when a man opens up a pit, ochi yichre ish bar v'lo yichasenu, or when he digs a pit and does not cover it, v'nafal shama shoru chamar, and an ox or a donkey falls in, baha bar yishalem, the owner of the pit must pay kesef yashiv li ba'alav, he shall give money, he shall pay money to the owner, v'amesi alone, the carcass belongs to him. He must also figure out a way to get the carcass out of his pit. This mitzvah applies not only to an actual pit, if someone opened up or revealed a cave, then he or a trench, he must pay for that. Why then do we pick the case of a bar of a pit? Because we want to teach us the dimensions, that it must be 10 tefachim, it must be 10 hand breadths deep. These two examples that were given of the victims are to teach us that this applies only to animals being damaged, not to a person. A person is a little bit more liable to look where he's going, perhaps. Not talking about objects that fall in. In addition, if someone digs a pit in his own property, he is not liable. Only in Rishus HaRabim, where people are expected to be walking, then the person is liable. If a person, however, dug a pit and then opened up his yard to make it public property, but said the pit is still mine, in that case, since the pit is still his, he is liable. It is his property which is damaging. The pit is considered to be his property. The Gemara goes through many discussions of how it is possible to consider what is basically a hole one's property. And the Gemara talks about what is doing the damage. Is it the air of the pit as the person is falling? Is it the impact of the pit? And each one has its questions of what the mechanics are of the person's liability. If the person makes his entire yard pit and flat area around it makes it hefker. In that case, he is no longer liable. When he dug it, he had permission to dig it, so you cannot make him liable for the act of digging. And at this point, it's no longer his property. Therefore, you cannot make him liable because it's his property. If, however, he dug it at first in public property, then he's liable for the act of digging. He had no right to dig in public property like this. Let's say that someone is making a foundation for his house. Right by the side of the road, he goes, as many houses do nowadays, right up to the property line. And he goes and digs down a foundation. And there's nothing right in between the street and his foundation, his property. He is not liable, even though, while people are walking on the street, is a pitfall they can easily fall in. Nevertheless, because of the fact that it would be possible to build up Eretz Yisrael, if people, or perhaps any land, if people do not make foundations, it's something that has to be done, and it is upon the people who are walking to watch out for people doing construction. The pasuk before told us two categories of the damage of bar, both one who digs a pit and also someone who opens a pit. Even had someone not dug a pit but taken off the covering, he is still liable. The question now arises, what if the cover was not strong to start with, and I took it off? If someone had gone under cover, or if an animal of a certain weight had walked over the cover, it would have fallen in anyway. Am I really liable for that? That's a question that's asked in the Gemara. Let's say that I own the pit with a partner. Who is liable to cover it if one partner took it off? If we had dug it together, who is liable? The questions of other pieces of property, whether I own a pool, what type of fence do I have to put around it? If I've sharp plants such as thorns, if I have glass, what are my obligations? Those are all explained in the third and fifth parak of Bava Kama. And the details are too numerous to list here. This mitzvah is again applying to males, as we had said, by all monetary matters, because males are obligated to set up courts and judge. However, women are just as obligated both in paying for damage that they or their property inflicts, or for receiving damages if they or their property have been damaged. Next year, we will discuss the other two mazikin, really three, Shein, Regel, and Esh.